Let us go to the Lord in prayer as we begin the message today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the model, the example of Jesus, whose whole life was a model of prayer. And today, Lord, just as the disciples asked Jesus long ago, we make it our prayer, Lord, teach us to pray. And so would you do that through your word today, in our time of hearing your message today, in Jesus' name, amen. I have a rather bemused fascination with the scientific effort to listen to the galaxies and nearby stars, trying to pick up some telltale sign of intelligent life that's trying to communicate with us. I've had a fascination with astronomy since I was a young kid and earned money to buy a telescope when I was in grade school. But I find this fascination of modern science and the tens of millions of dollars that are being poured into what is called the search for extraterrestrial life by listening to radio signals, microwave signals coming from outer space. Serious scientists have given their whole career to this. And as Paul Davies, a noted astrophysicist, one of the leaders in this field, when he wrote a book in 2010, the book was entitled The Eerie Silence. The eerie silence, and many serious scientists have been trying to figure out why, given the fact that the immensity of the universe and the billions and billions of galaxies that are there and billions of suns in each galaxy, why we haven't made contact with an intelligence greater than ourselves. Most astrophysicists, most astroscientists believe that hearing from intelligent life from beyond our planet will be the single most significant event in human history. But so far, having spent nearly 60 years, tens of millions of dollars, greater and greater sophistication, being able to monitor not just millions of microwave frequencies, but over a billion microwave frequencies, why we have not heard from our galactic neighbors. And I find that rather both fascinating and somewhat amusing, because I'm not sure they're gonna hear anything. But even more poignant, even more important for us, is the fact that there is an intelligent being whose knowledge and power are infinitely greater than ours, and he has made contact with us. He is God. We're listening and listening, but there's an eerie silence from the universe, and yet we're not listening to the right voice, because God has spoken to us. And we are told that in many and various ways, God has spoken to us through the prophets of old, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we have a record of that in Scripture. God is speaking. The only question is, are we listening? Are we listening? Well, in Luke chapter 11, it says that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" This is God's word for today. Lord, would you sanctify us through your word in the truth, for your word is truth. Amen. We've, in this year of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we are going through a series of messages titled, "Here We Still Stand," as Martin Luther took his stand for the truth on the Word of God. Here we still stand on the truth of God's Word. And today and the next few Sundays up until Advent, we're going to be looking at part of the catechism, part of our basic teachings of the Christian faith on the Lord's Prayer as we finish this series. We've been going through these foundations of the Christian faith, and today we're looking at Lord, teach us to pray. And as a disciple came up to Jesus and asked that question, he gave this model prayer, this outline for prayer. It is somewhat the abbreviated prayer that we find in Matthew chapter 6 on the Lord's Prayer. But Jesus intended this not to be a rote prayer, not just something we say by memory, but he gave us an outline for prayer. And so throughout the New Testament especially, and throughout the Bible altogether, we find many, many, many types of prayer. But we rarely find a rote and canned prayer. Because prayer is not just saying a formula to God. Prayer is something very much more. It is a conversation with the living God, a personal conversation with Him. And it comes out of a personal relationship. And I believe that is why for the disciples, as they saw Jesus praying, it was so compelling to them. Because he didn't just pray prayers. He didn't just say formulas of addressing God in great and marvelous ways. No, he told us just to come to God, who is our Heavenly Father. Come to him in a simple term. And so true prayer, and according to our catechism, according to Scripture, which is even more which is better, that prayer, true prayer, is simply talking to God silently or aloud from our heart. And as I tell my catechism class, what do you think is the most important part of that definition? Okay, ready? What's the most important part of that definition? From the heart. It's not just words, not just talking to God, but it's talking to Him from the heart, meaning from our own heart to God's heart. But what we'll find out this morning is that the conversation that we have with God from our heart is initiated by God from His heart. He's already poured out His heart to us. And because He has begun the conversation with us, He's begun to speak to us, and then we can respond from our heart to reach the heart of God. We don't pray and it just doesn't land on God's to-do list. It doesn't end up on his voicemail. It doesn't end up in a text somewhere. When we speak from our heart to God through Jesus Christ, we find that it reaches the very heart of God. So prayer is speaking to God silently or aloud from my heart. It's simply conversation with God. And I think that's what intrigued the disciples so much, as they saw Jesus continually in this conversation with his Heavenly Father. They saw this relationship. They didn't just see him saying prayers. They viewed this relationship to God. And again throughout the Gospels, we find Jesus lived a life of prayer. He is the supreme example of prayer, and prayer permeated his earthly ministry from the beginning to the end, from his baptism to the cross and beyond. And in John chapter 17, we find a whole chapter of the Bible that is nothing more, or we should say nothing less, than a prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we want to say and echo as the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, teach us to pray. Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus was always taking time to pray, and of course his disciples saw that. So Lord, teach us to pray. So it's a conversation. And if we're not listening to God, that's where a conversation starts, right? Somebody has to initiate the conversation, or else we're just standing there silently to one another. But God has initiated the conversation with us. I love Zechariah 7, verses 12 to 13. It says, they made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words of the Lord Almighty that he had sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. And so the Lord was angry. And the Lord said, when I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. Wow. God says, if you're not going to listen to me, I'm not going to listen to you. There's going to be that eerie silence out there. Hey, anybody there? Reminds me of the story of the guy that fell over the cliff, right? I do a lot of mountain climbing, so I've, you know, been there. As he's about ready to fall over into the void there, he grabs a branch, and he's dangling by this branch, and the roots are starting to come out, and he's looking down, and he's looking up, and he says, help! Anybody up there? A silence, and then this soft, firm, loving voice says, yes, I'm here, my son. Just let go. It will be okay. And he thinks for a moment and he says, is there anybody else up there? God begins the conversation with us. And true prayer is that Jesus has given me this prayer to show us what true prayer is and to teach us as God's child how to speak to my Heavenly Father. How to speak to my Heavenly Father. So we have a conversation with God. And that conversation is made possible only because of what Jesus Christ has done. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 22 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open to us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. Let us draw near to God. Why? Because we have Jesus who's opened the way to God by his sacrifice on the cross. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. He's forgiven us. He's made the first move. He's begun the conversation with us. And through Jesus Christ, we can draw near to God. And so then James says, well, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. The fact is, he's already given us the very basis by which we can draw near to him. And we can draw near to him in prayer. And so the disciples wanted not a formula of prayer. They wanted to hear about, okay, how does this work? How does this conversation happen? And Jesus, of course, is our example. But then Jesus, first of all, points to it's a complete dependence on God as Father. It's a complete dependence on God as Father. And Jesus simply said, just call out to God, Father, Father. That relationship comes through knowing the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. If we know the Son, we know the Father. If we have the Son, we have the Father. It is this relationship that Jesus came so that we could enjoy. And prayer is simply a manifestation. Prayer is simply the outpouring of this relationship, of this conversation that God has begun with us. And it kind of goes like this. My child, I love you. I love you so much that I've sent my son to die for you, to suffer for you, to bear your sorrows and carry your burdens. And my child, I want you to believe and trust that I've saved you through him. Trust in Jesus, my son, and then come to me through him. Come to me and enjoy this wonderful relationship. Father. Jesus went on to talk about what a complete dependence this is. And he told a couple of stories, and the first one's kind of unique. It just says, if a guy comes to you, if you have a visitor coming late at night, and you go rap on your neighbor's door, and he says, go home! Don't bother me! My kids are all asleep! What are you doing knocking on my door at 2 o'clock in the morning? But I tell you, even though the man won't give him anything because he's his friend, he's his neighbor. He'll give him something if he keeps knocking. And Jesus is basically saying, keep knocking. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened to you. Jesus is saying, you know, come and knock on my door anytime you want, and I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to tell you to come back later, as your neighbor will probably do. He's ready to give. He's ready to listen. But we need to understand that we are completely dependent upon him. Dependent upon him for everything. Dependent upon him because he's the king. Your kingdom come. Dependent upon him because we need to come and ask even for our daily bread. Give us each day our daily bread. We need to come to him because we're sinners needing forgiveness. Forgive us our sins, even as we forgive others who sin against us. And he went on and says this. Here's about the Father. He says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him instead a serpent, a snake? And if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In the book of Matthew, it says, give good gifts to his children. God certainly will give good gifts, but Luke always emphasize how Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, because it is the very Spirit of God that helps us to pray. The very Spirit of God that helps us to pray and come to him and depend on him. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You see what he's saying? He says, you've received a spirit by faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes, and it's the Holy Spirit that draws you to Jesus, and we can cry out to God the Father, Abba, Father. It says that again in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons. And he uses sons here because in the Roman world, it was the son who received those rights. So, but there's neither male nor female, slave nor free, but we're all one in Christ. But he goes on to say this in verse 6. Because you are sons, inheritors is what I should say, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And so Jesus is our model. He calls God Father. Jesus depended upon God the Father, even though he was God the Son. On this life on earth, every moment of his life was in a complete dependence upon his heavenly Father to model that for us. But more importantly, it's because it was his very nature to have that close, intimate relationship with the Father. And that's what he modeled for us. And we are completely, in every way, dependent upon the Father. And you're not going to feel compelled to pray unless you understand that in everything in this life, for our sins, for our daily needs, for our life itself, we're completely dependent upon God, and we just need to cry out to him daily, Lord, may I keep your name holy in all that I do, and Lord, I need you. We live pretty self-sufficient lives. We don't think we need to be completely dependent upon God, our Heavenly Father. We're doing pretty good on our own, but as God warned the Israelites, when they came into a good land, it says, you know, don't you realize I gave you this land and I gave you the health and the strength to earn all the wealth that you did? It all comes from me. Don't be self-sufficient. Don't think that you've done it all yourself. No, it's all, everything's dependent upon me. Everything is dependent upon God. We have this complete dependence. Until we recognize that, we won't feel compelled to pray. Jesus told a parable once about two guys that went up to the temple to pray. And it says, and the first man talked to himself in this way. I love it. He, you know, says, oh God, I'm thankful that I'm good. I tithe and I do all the things right. And obviously you bless me. And it says, no, he's talking to himself, not God, because he thinks he had it all together. The other man said, Lord, oh, I'm a sinner. Help! Have mercy upon me. And he says it was the second man who really had a conversation with God that day, and that's the second man who went away forgiven with a right relationship with the Lord. You know, without a sense of our need, we're just talking to ourselves. We're not talking to God. But understanding our need, understanding that we are sinners needing a Savior, Understanding that we are dependent upon God for our daily sustenance, our daily breath, our daily need for forgiveness. We come to Him. And so Jesus, again, is our example of this conversation that God has begun with us, and He wants us to keep it going. Okay? Are you keeping that conversation going? Are you talking with God daily? Not just talking to yourself, right? Are you really talking to God? When I have trouble praying, believe it or not, pastors have trouble praying at times. I get my mind so busy, so full of all sorts of things. I sit down, I try to pray. What? You think about this, you think about that. You think about everything but God, right? How do you get your mind focused? How do you keep the conversation going with God? And what I do is I just open the Word, and I begin with a psalm, or I begin with a word of Jesus, a promise that God's given me, and I begin to meditate upon that. For instance, one great verse I learned recently was from Psalm 94, verse 16. Psalm 94, verse 19, excuse me. And it says, "When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolation, your comfort, Lord, is my delight." And I'm thinking, oh yeah, when my anxious thoughts fill me up, what do? I go reach for food, right? Comfort food. Oh, that's going to comfort me. I sit and grab a magazine and want to just read or look on the internet and just read some mindless articles, you know, just to kind of get my mind off of things. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, what does God want to do? He wants to be my comforter. He wants me to come to Him. And it's just a reminder, come to God in prayer. He's always there. So begin the conversation by allowing God to speak to you. He's already begun the conversation, and so then you continue that conversation by speaking to Him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, it just seems so simple. It seems so simple that Jesus Christ, by His coming to this earth, living a perfect life, being sacrificed on the cross for us, rising from the dead, He's opened the way to come directly to you. It's so simple. He's opened the way. And then by your Spirit comes when we receive Jesus as our Savior. Your Spirit comes to fill us, to help us to pray, it tells us. And that we can just pour out our hearts to you. Oh Lord, may we listen to your voice and may we respond in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we have so much to learn about this conversation called prayer. But help us to learn that it begins with a relationship with you through believing in Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that has not begun a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, who's never accepted your Son as their Savior, who's never seen their need for forgiveness, their need, desperate need for you, Father, would today be the day that they would cry out to you saying simply this, "Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sin. I know that I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. Would you come and enter my heart as my Savior and Lord? And Lord, I believe that you rose from the dead so that I can have eternal life with you. Father, would you, having sent your Son to live in my heart, would you help me to live for you each day, to talk with you each day, to live in a complete dependence on you each day?" And Father, that's our prayer, that all of us would see our desperate need, our desperate dependence upon you, and come to you daily, and receive from you daily your grace, your peace, your strength, your joy, and all the other gifts you give. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.